Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Abba.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm good. Long time no talk.
Long time. This is the longest we've gone since we started recording. Is it not frequently, but often? No, on a structured number of times a month. I haven't seen your face in like 3 weeks, or is it even 4 weeks?
I know. Now you're just looking at my slippery face with all my nighttime moisturizers.
I love it. You have your skincare routine down. That's why your skin always looks so good.
Oh, I don't know about that. But how was your work trip?
It was good. I've been traveling a lot for work the past 2 weeks. I was in Uganda.
Where were you? It looked like a vacation.
The funny thing, it's always so funny on my, and I'm like, guys, you've been watching me travel for work for so many years now. You should know by now. I'm showing you the 45 minutes of enjoyment in the day.
I know. I love it though. Cause it's, I mean, you really like make the best of like your relaxation, enjoyment time when you're on these work trips.
So I really try to, and that's so interesting because like from I started traveling for work in like 2014 for the first time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the first, that when I was traveling a lot internationally for work. And I think from that experience, that was a decade ago, but I was always just like, oh my gosh, I've not visited any of these countries. So I was always very deliberate about like carving out time for me to enjoy the space. And if I need to like pull an all nighter, like the first night or two nights, cause I'm preparing a presentation and then I'm more chill, I'd like do
Are
that.
You actually pulling all nighters?
2014. It's 20, almost 24 now. Like, I would die if I attempted to pull.
I know.
I would simply pass away during the night. No, but like because of that, I've like always now, even as I've grown older, whether it's like more local trips, whether it's more, now it's even more serious ones that my role is bigger in it. I'm always just like, okay, I'm done. And also like the more I've become more introverted, I'm just like, I need to disappear and go and enjoy myself. You all be safe. Bye. So it always looks like, oh my gosh, Abba is at the beach again. Yes. And also fighting for my life in a meeting all day.
Yeah, we definitely don't see that. But
yeah,
I mean, what a nice place to get sent to for work.
True.
To have, even though you don't have too much time, but.
But it's still nice because that's work I'd have to do anyway. So you might as well like be next to the ocean or the lake. But like last week when I was in Uganda, I was next to Lake Victoria. And then this week I was next to the Indian Ocean. And I was like, it's been very, I like water and I have to have a house next to the water. But for you, if you had to have a home next to an, by the beach or by a great lake, what's your preference and why?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm like in like mountains, obviously I want to see a lake. There's just something about the way a lake smells when you're, I don't know. I always think of when I lived in Montana.
Yeah.
And there were like tons of lakes there. And I don't know. I really like the look of a lake around mountains.
So is your preference for a dream vacation house or cabin? Is a mountain house?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love the beach, but, oh no, the cat is...
I locked Pepper in my other room.
There she goes. Yeah, I don't know. I think the mountains, I do love the ocean, but I think my preference would be the mountains.
I definitely want a place on like some good hills too, maybe, you know. We don't have like major mountains in Kenya. We do, but they're like, okay, it has to be by Mount Kenya. That is way too cold. I would never want a place by there. So it's like, if I want warmth and I want the effect of like the lush green and the high topography, it would need to be a hill. But I'm a water person. I would choose the ocean and the lake first before a mountain or a hill.
That makes sense to me. I mean, you are, like, always in the water. You're, like, a mermaid for sure.
I am Mummy Water. They're called Mummy Waters in Central Africa.
Mummy Water. I love it.
It's a Mummy Water. Have you been though, Caitlin? What have you been up to?
Oh, I was like, I haven't been to a lake. I don't know. Just work. I actually am taking some time off at the end of April. So,
yeah. Good. When is Jesus. Yes.
And I'm going to go to Texas and visit Texas. So send me all your Texas recommendations from your days of living there.
Will you go to Houston?
Maybe. I'm going to see where I can go. I'm definitely going to go to Austin and visit some people. Oh, I would like to go to San Antonio.
You have a lot of homies in Austin.
Yeah, some from, I mean, they're yeah, your, from your uni days too. Yeah.
That's why I'm so, like, I know the Austin crew. Mm-hmm. Say hi.
Yeah, so I'm going to take some time off. So I'm really looking forward to that. But other than that, I've just been working. I have, work has been busy, like always. I have had some big stuff going on lately, and I'm supposed to have a couple trials coming up in like the middle of April. So kind of prepping for those if they're going to happen. We'll see. Yeah. Other than that, not too much. It's finally getting like nice around here. The weather is warming. You know, I love that feeling at nighttime when you can sit outside and you're not frigid, you know? That's happening, and it's staying light later. So I've just been like, that's been a real game changer for my mental well-being in the last couple weeks. You know, this winter was rough. It was rough. I think, yeah, like coming out of it, I definitely have been realizing like, whoa,
you are doing worse than
I was not feeling good. Yeah.
I remember one of my core memories for undergrad. I used to work in the school library, but I remember like having like a very, like the physical feeling of spring was coming. Like I remember there's just this one day in the library, and I remember I was interacting with some students, and I'm just like, first of all, everyone is being significantly nice. And it was a place where everyone was always nice.
Yes.
But like you don't notice how like tones change when we've all been like drowning in winter. So I'm like, first the interactions are so much lighter. Then I remember like I'm telling way more, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. Then I'm like, wait. Have I been unhappy for 3 months? You don't even know.
You don't even realize.
Because I'm like, I remember this feeling last, like, wait, in Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's February. Have I been, like, deep in my fields and not even... But I just always used to... I could feel the energy in the library. And that was, like, it's been a week of spring. And the feeling is setting into, like, all of the students' bodies. And how everyone's moving is just totally different. I'm like, what? The seasonal depression was beating all of our asses. And we did not even know it.
Mm-hmm. No, it really, I mean, it really does. I love that shift in energy. And it also just like, I mean, I know we need the changing of the seasons, and that does like something good for us, but oh, just the lightness that comes out when, you know, and I feel much more social, and just, I want to go out and like give everyone I see a kiss on the cheek. Like, you know, like you feel like this like lightness, flirtiness. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like, been a good feeling sneaking up.
Enjoy your spring and upcoming summer too. Caitlin had been checking the weather for Nairobi. We're like on the exact opposite scale. So I've been in like peak summertime, and I was away for 2 weeks, and I guess the weather has been changing, and I was in warmer places, and I've come back, and it's just like not ideal. I woke up late. Because my body always knows the time, first of all, but even my alarm, I don't know, I didn't even hear my alarm. Because it's like,
you needed the rest for sure.
Yeah. But what we're talking about today?
Oh, you know, nothing light, I guess.
I know.
No, we were going to talk about grief. Different ways we experience grief, grieving for different things. I have had a coworker who has like had quite a few like immediate family members pass away recently. So
immediate?
A dad and a sister. And so like grief has just been heavy on my mind. So we're going to get into that today.
Yeah. I think, so I've been interested in, and this probably won't be the last time we talk about it. I think it would also be interesting to even have like an additional person in a conversation about grief.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for me, since, I think since, and you know, the pandemic period from 2020 till now, and of course a lot has shifted in these 3 years, but I feel like this season, grief has been very like present, both like grief for actual loss of life, I've always been like, in regards to loss of life, I've always been like a very hyper-aware person for mortality. But then now when that's being interfaced, where it feels like there's actual grief being experienced within your own life, but the world is going through like a lot of grief. And that thing for the energy and other people's energy, like the world was grieving. I feel like 2020, 2021, there's just a lot of loss and death. And even in those seasons, that period, losing some close people in my life too. But also what you're saying for like the grieving of things outside of the loss of life, I feel like that was also very sharp during this pandemic period, like grieving careers or like loss of work and like loss of even like the vivacity that you might like living life. Like, again, I like traveling, I like going to the beach, I like being able to, like, a certain level of freedom that had to be adjusted through times. Yes, it doesn't necessarily feel like that anymore now. And also, I feel like for me, another thing that I've been feeling like I'm kind of grieving is I really like growing older and what comes with like age, but there's been, I think I'm beginning to process like a certain not grieving of youth, but there's something that I can feel is shifting,
right? That I know exactly what you mean. I've been thinking of this recently too.
Yeah, what you thinking?
Well, I mean, I feel like we've talked about this where like in, like I feel still like very young and like we are young. Like I, like, we won't get it twisted with like society, like saying like that people in their 30s are old, like, come on. But I feel maybe like the way that life has been moving. And for me, because I'm not, I don't know, I didn't necessarily like follow the kind of like heteronormative like path for like life steps, right? And I was recently talking about this with like some friends, like the like marriage or whatever and having kids or all those things. So I haven't done that and don't plan to. So it's like, I guess my milestones have been different, that maybe I haven't felt the like big societal expectation milestone. So like very recently I've been like more aware of my age, I guess, and realizing, whoa, like, you know, like I'm not, in my mind, I'm not, you know, I'm not actually like 22 years old anymore, or, you know, kind of like that phase. It really hit me that like, okay, that whole chunk of 10 years, like 20 to 30 is actually like it's past. And I never really like thought of that, you know, because I still feel the same. I still am like doing my life the same. Nothing has really changed, but we're kind of moving past that point. And I don't know. It's just like, I guess I haven't had anything where I really feel like I'm mourning a past self. Like I've talked to specifically like a couple moms who have had this conversation with me of like when they had their child, they kind of like celebrated this new like identity, but they were like really mourned their like past self, the self that they were like losing, because they'll never obviously get that back because now they have this whole like parenthood thing. And I guess like I've been kind of doing that too a little bit, because recent, not in the same way, obviously I'm not a parent, but recently like there was like this bonus incentive at my job to like basically sign a contract and stay for another 2 years. You got this extra money, and like I did it, obviously I wanted the money and I love my job, but then I kind of like freaked out after, because I was like, okay, so that means I'm here for 2 more years.
And that means something at this stage with the level your career has already reached and like digging your roots deeper. And it's just like, okay, it's like, okay, is there another big shift that you, what are you anticipating as a shift now? Like when you're committing to, if your location stays still and you know those milestones are not your milestones, and like, what does that then mean?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that felt really big for me because I have moved so much and I love moving, and it felt like this, like that's like my child, you know, like I'm sticking around and I can't just like get up and leave immediately, you know.
Remember that TikTok sample? I'm a stick beside him. That's you in New Mexico now.
And it's like I love New Mexico. Even moving here though, I was like, oh, I'm only gonna be in like the small town that I'm going to for maybe a couple years, you know, and it's gonna be, you know, that's going to be a little bit longer. And then I wonder, like, oh, I don't know. So I've been, like, grieving a little bit my more unrooted self, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
I feel
Do you
that, have something like which that? Now makes me, like, just want to talk about, like, grieving and as aging. Particularly, but, like...
There's so many ways to grieve.
Yeah,
so many
maybe this
will
be grief episode one is the grief of aging, but not aging in the way people would probably anticipate we're grieving it. But that really resonates with me, Caitlin. And that's so interesting. I feel like you've put a certain, like, maybe word or, like, articulated a feeling that I've also... So, again, as I said, I'm grieving that shift. But, like, there's been something that I feel like I'm grieving in within my career mm-hmm. space or, like, mm-hmm. the... But it's just like there's a growth phase that I'm going through right now, which I'm really excited about. I'm excited to feel like more confident and comfortable in the direction that I'm able to drive my career. But it's also almost making me panic and restless. And I'm just like, what you're saying for now, you signed on a bonus for the next 2 years. But it also feels like the decisions I'm going to make around my work in the next 6 months to end of this year are going to be decisions that will lock me into a certain, you know, like, and yeah. So it's both exciting that, yes, I've wanted to be both recognized at the level that I'm recognized now, have the opportunity to grow, but it's also just like, what does this mean? And I'm also the kind of person, which I've been working with my youngest sibling, is also like, is going through a career mm-hmm. shift right now and trying to articulate the direction that he wants to go. And he's not very driven by, he's not like, you know, he doesn't have like, this is my set passion so I can build along that. I feel like there's certain careers, even like you being in law and the specific area of law that it's almost, you can be very driven by like your passion to continue growing in that mm-hmm. model. But like, I feel like I've always been very just like, I'm interested in different things and I'm interested in learning and but it almost feels like the more I grow and show up in a certain way, like there's going to be less options for curiosity, because I feel like I've always been mm-hmm. driven by like curiosity and luck in like which other region I'll go to.
You get kind of like specialized, mm-hmm. too specialized.
Almost. Accidentally specialized, because I'm a generalist that has always allowed me to like open up to, and even it's just like, okay, if I'm building this product, do you want to jump ship right when you're about to like make this like a big thing across the country? And my deep, deep internal reaction is yes, but also it's just like, mm-hmm. is that how, again, I'm growing older, is that, not that you should now make decisions around your work based off of your age, but is it also the right thing for me to keep doing? Like, what should I actually be doing in the next 10 years if I want also the amount of, again, maybe freedom to be able to step away, to, you know, so it's just like, it doesn't feel like in my 20s where, even though I was way more anxious then with those decisions, now I'm not anxious, mm-hmm. but it just feels like it's heavier. There's more of like a weightiness around it. But then it is, okay, I'm anxious because I don't know if I'm good at this thing, but it's just like, okay, I like this person. Let me follow this mentor to this organization. Okay, maybe there's a restructure. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, at the end of it, it doesn't really matter. It's just like, I'm smart enough. I'm gathering enough experience and that's all that matters. But now it feels like that's not how I can keep navigating. And I feel... there's like a
and that's
sadness
limiting.
It's making me feel like, yeah, the light, even like the way you're describing the season, there's a certain lightness with how you had an option of navigating some decisions. And even if the decisions seem like they're better and more opportunities now, it feels like it's more weighty and it doesn't feel as free as it did for me. And that makes me sad and also like not as clear with like what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes total sense to me. And it's kind of scary. Like, I don't know. And that's why it feels like a grief process, because, I don't know, maybe it is, like, constructed and we're like, I don't know though. I do think as you age, you are kind of like your box gets smaller, right? It just like keeps getting, and you have which to is work really a lot unfortunate. Harder
to making the box bigger.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. And I hope that changes generationally, but it definitely, like, I feel like we're still like pushing against that norm a little bit right now.
And it's also been making me wonder, you know, like how our like age mates, counterparts, whatever, like when they're going through the switch for turning to 30, it's like this big deal thing where it's just like, oh my gosh, I need to be like, have this amount of wealth. I need to know who I'm getting mm-hmm. married to. And I feel like I feel like y'all are giving yourselves drama because you heard that this is a big age and now you're trying to make yourself
and old. And it's not.
And it's really yeah. not. But I'm feeling like 34. I don't know if it's, again, resisting the box longer means I didn't feel it for mm-hmm. at least another 4 years. But it almost feels like it's a certain version of it. And so what you're saying, yes, part of it, I'm sure it is constructed. And but again, what we were saying about, but we are social, even when we break away from it, we are raised in a certain society and there are certain things about mm-hmm. it that we absorb whether or not we want to. And you have to be you have to work hard to release some of it. And some of it, unfortunately, isn't possible for some of us, me, to release. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely feeling a something. Like, I'm like, okay, is this my turning 30? Is this the energy that everyone was moving into 30 and feeling like they need to make, like, a dramatic decision? And just because my decision isn't about marriage and starting a family, but it feels like there's something else that drives that, like, weight for, like, needing to figure it all out by now, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, totally.
How are you processing? So what are you doing? Or, like, how are you processing, or how do you want to be able to, like, process this transition? It feels like it's going to be for the next few years, and we need to try not get lost in the matrix during it.
Yeah, I think, so I've kind of, like, sat with my, like, uncomfy feelings a little bit that have been bubbling up, and, you know, I mean, I know, like, 2 years is not, in the big scheme of things, like, not a lot of time, and time, like, in this kind of job, it really does fly by. But on like the other side of that, I was thinking like, okay, so just generally like the place that I live, you know, it's not my favorite place that I've lived. I live like in really good distances to awesome places, but specifically where I am, like, I was like, okay, so I do need to work on like building like a better community while I'm here. I do need to set like certain goals, to, you know, kind of have a game plan, because I know long-term, like, I don't want to be where I am right now. The job, I love the job, and the experience that I'm getting. But I know that like, I want to do this same job somewhere else. And so I kind of am just like making a plan for like an exit strategy, you know, because I know for me, like, staying in one place for a long period of time, it really is not good for me. I know. So I've kind of been like, I don't know, creating a plan with that. Not limiting myself and thinking that I have to stay somewhere longer just because like I'm getting older. I think that's such like a silly mentality.
Why does staying in a long place for you, what does it do to you?
I don't know. I think I get a little too comfortable, you know? Mm-hmm. I like getting to know new places. I like having to like challenge myself and, you know, branch out, meet new people, kind of like gain these new experiences mm-hmm. through like the community that I meet different places. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's like really fulfilling to me, and I love mm-hmm. that I have people all over mm-hmm. because of it too, you know?
Yeah. So it fulfills that. It's a desire that you have for yourself and the version of life you like to live and envision for yourself to live. So this is the longest you would have stayed in one place then?
Yeah. Well, except I guess I was in San Diego for 3 years for school, but mm-hmm. yeah, this will be the longest. And it's like, it's good. Like, I should stay here. I'm like very invested in what I'm doing and where I'm living now, but it just, you know, it felt scary and like kind of limiting, and I don't know. Which is like, it's 2 years. Like, who knows? Maybe I'll be here 10 more years. But just knowing that I will officially be here 2 more years, it freaked me out.
Yeah. I feel like there's something around signing a contract to be there for 2 more years and opting and being there for 2 more years. I always feel like around investments.
You're it's stuck. Like, yeah.
I'm willing to like focus on one thing or like even phone plans. I was never able to have a phone plan when I was in America. I'm just like, what if I want to change to T-Mobile next year? Which it's just like, okay, you can. But it always just feel like I'd rather just opt into this same network every year. But then when you sign against it, I'm telling you, there's a lady who's supposed to be helping with like financial investment. She gets so irritated. But I'm just like, no, give me, what are the 1 year investment options? She's just like, Ava, that's not a thing. Please, you need to be gosh. Open.
Yes, you do have, oh my gosh. Yeah, you have to commit.
Yeah. I think I'm also really just trying to, so, you know, not like, you know what, you're looking at what the options would look like for you even outside and like what does it look like not feeling locked in. And I think I've been like trying to like focus on, I feel like there's a community side of it because I feel like relationships and like what areas do I also get to like interact with people and like spark new curiosities and which relationships will maybe show me additional opportunities for things or make me, who can I also really like working with people I know. So like, who would you even be able to pull in? So I know a lot of it is around work, but it's just like, how do I make sure, again, I think it's the same thing where it's like, I'm not feeling like I'm getting closed in. Because for me, what I'm nervous about and what I've also been like sensing is a possibility when I start feeling like that closed in. And so I'm doing this just because that's the option that I have on the table, even though that's not the reality. And I know I liked the job that I chose and the organization and the work that I was working on. It starts feeling like a burden and like, it's like I'm just plowing through it. And then then suddenly I don't like the people I work with and I don't like that. And so then I hate everything. And I could sense like that quick, already.
It spirals quickly.
Yeah, it's quicksand. And that's always been like my experience in a lot. So like, how do you make sure? Yes. And, you know, also just being very clear when it is time to maybe change into something else for it to be like driven by like, I know this is what makes sense as the next step and not like a panic reaction because now it feels like everything is falling apart and, you know, which is what I'm clearly leaning into right now.
Lean into the chaos.
Yeah.
Well.
How's it? Yeah. Do you want, I don't know if I want to talk about like actual grief for a loss of life.
I know that's like that. There's a lot to say about that. Yeah. And we've already, but I like talking about grief.
Me too.
I know like you, like I don't shy away from talking about death ever.
Me, so
I think we've talked about this before.
Yes. I think that's a really important thing for me in like, in my closest relationships, it's always with people who are comfortable talking about death. And I have a friend, Cassandra, who now our relationship is laughing at death. Like, all our jokey jokes are coming. And it's just like, who can I send this to who will not, like, get uncomfortable, think I'm being morbid, or, like, even presume that I'm, you know, especially if you, like, have you're like close to like a death experience in the near past, like who will not think I'm laughing at the fact that I lost my grandmother when I send a joke about death right now, you know, like it's just like,
yeah, well, some people definitely don't like to joke about death, so yeah, you're like totally spot on about that. But I think like, I think people's relationship with death, I don't know, it can, there's something so like special but also humorous about it. And I think about this podcast I listened to one time about what is it called when you are you're like the usher of death, essentially, like when someone dies and you like embalm them, like what is that called?
The job,
a mortician.
Mortician, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so the podcast was this mortician speaking about like her experiences, basically like ushering people to like the other side, you know what I mean? And it's like this like beautiful, really like loving, kind process, right? Like a lot of people are just like, oh, you're weird, you're like obsessed with death, and why do you want to like be around dead people all day? And her talking about what like a beautiful like honor, like it's such an honor to like be the person that like ensures that you know like this person's well taken care of post death until like whatever happens next, whether they just melt to the ground or, you know, whatever people believe. But it's like, it's very like delicate and beautiful.
I like that. And I feel like this is something also that I've thought of, like in my older age, also like / in the pandemic period. in our culture, like there's people who, or like people who you have relationships with. Yes, there's a mortician, and there's the morgue. Mortuary has like all these services that they offer. They prep the body, dress it, or whatever. But like sometimes there's someone who will come, like in your family, who will like take the role of like maybe like preparing, not like the embalming, like but post embalming, but making sure that the body looks good for the funeral. And I feel like that's such a, again, you know, it's like, okay, who's going to want to interact with the corpse? But yeah, that's something I like to, I know one of my friends like had to do that for someone, and or offered to. And that's like the biggest gift you can be like, okay, you'll make sure my mom looks good for her burial. And of course, this is something that's going to be too difficult for maybe the immediate family member to do, but who can you entrust? Who will make sure that?
Right.
And I was just like, that's such a big gift, and it's such a beautiful thing. And it's, yeah, so I that's been something that's played in my head a lot, like the prepper, who guides you through, and who takes you through with like dignity and beauty and like taking away like whatever would be uncomfortable for the other people who might need to deal with it. But there was also a podcast that I used to listen to, which I'm not going to remember now because I can't pause for long enough to try and remember. But it was this lady who was podcasting with her best friend. It was a lady who was dying. And it was like her podcasting through the journey of like, it's like maybe someone is dying in 2 months and they're having conversations around how they're processing their ending, their mortality, the grief, the relationships. And like the podcast ends with her dying. Like that, so the last episode is just her best friend or something like that, right? But I thought like, it's so, I'll send it to you and I think it would be worth sharing.
Yeah, please do.
But it was so beautiful also the way they thought about it, the way they were, and the death is probably the heaviest thing that you have, but it's like the same, it's also in a way the lightest thing that you could be like talking about.
Yeah, and it's like, that's like the universal shared experience. That's literally the only thing that's like universally shared, right?
Literally, to be born and to die. But I think, I'm just thinking now though, that there is probably something to take through the lessons of how we view and handle grieving through like the loss of life, and how we're processing this like transition of like an aging reckoning, and like I feel like taking first, like setting, you know, you said you've sat down with like the uncomfortable feelings. I think that that's like the usually like the first like really big step for like loss of life processing. It's just like you have to leave space for the pain, there's nowhere else to put it and face
when it's like, I feel like it's so not linear either. I guess with like any kind of grief or grieving anything, we kind of like expect people to like, say you like someone dies that's close to you, and there's like this window of time that they're like allowed to be sad and talk about it. And after that period of time, it's like we expect them to not bring it up, like it becomes uncomfortable or something. You know what I mean? Like there's this, even though like someone may feel fine at this point, but then all these like things bubble up later and we kind of don't accept it as like this ongoing forever range of emotions. Yeah. And I don't know, like I try to be like cognizant of like making space for people at different times. And I appreciate like, you know, like I have a friend who lost her mom And that was like a very big part of our friendship, like in our conversations. Like she brought it up in many different ways. And it was such like a range. It was such a range of emotions for her, right? Yeah. And I like really appreciated that because it wasn't, you know, she, I guess like she didn't care that like people expected her to like not talk about it as much anymore because it was
That's five years ago
or something.
That's,
you know,
so good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like made me think like, okay, like, yeah, like we don't need to feel pressured to like not talk about our grief just because we're past that window where we're allowed to be sad or feeling different things, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, that's so interesting because this is a separate podcaster also that I, there's this new podcast that I got onto. No, but like one of, in the recent, some at some point earlier this year, there was a grief episode where she was talking about the, there were two kids and it was the loss of her brother. And mm-hmm. I remember like she was, their emotions were so raw. It was like his anniversary or something. So it was the episode for like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, she must have died last year. But then when I really got into the, and I was like researching and trying, and I was like, wait, he died like 6 years ago. But I don't know what, because mm-hmm. I'm very cognizant of the fact that, yeah, grief is not linear. Things kick up. Like, it's like, I think I saw a tweet one time where someone was just like, you know, people keep asking you how you like move on after the death of like a really close person, but it's like a limp, like it's like acquiring a limp, like you don't stop walking, you had an accident, mm-hmm. the pain is gone, but you just like walk differently now and you're aware that you walk differently. It doesn't necessarily affect you day to day, but it's a part, it's just like, it's how your yeah. body and your process of the way you're moving through life now is. But like I remember being like, oh, so shocked initially because I was like, oh my gosh, like why did I think, first of all, that it has to be recent? And then I'm like, wait, do I also, is there something that I still hold on, like, where I expect, like, grief to end? But, like, for
yeah,
it to
yeah, we
be,
probably
like,
do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we probably can't help it because that's kind of, like, you get to cry at a funeral and then, like, suck it up, right? You know?
Move
I
on.
Mean,
like, life goes on right after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember.
Yeah.
I remember an ex when I was younger, like, in my mid-20s, asked me once and it was just like, so, you know, I lost my biological parents. I've grown up with an adoptive family. But it's just like, are you not,
mm-hmm.
are you not like, you know, over it?
Really?
Because it's just like, well, it happened when you're like 7 and you're like
so?
24. No, but I remember being so like, I think that's when I was like, oh my gosh, this is an insane person. Like, I don't think, but it's just
they
like, I feel like that
to
is.
Be.
The difference probably mm-hmm. is that he would say it. And maybe there's like other people who like are just like, okay, you know, like what you're saying about your friend, where there's an expectation for like, mm-hmm. you know, your mom passed away 5 years ago, you know. In the, but like your mom, you don't recover from your mom dying. And not recovering doesn't mean you're like a bleeding heart every second of the way. But, you know, it's just like a part of your process. And the
yeah,
pain
and
will
I
kick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I guess I, with my colleague that recently lost like her dad and sister in a short period of time, like, you know, like she was not close with her sister. They had like a very complicated, strained relationship, but like she's still going through like all these, I mean, it almost makes it like more grief because now she's also mulling over these like lost years or what could have been, you know, and then like with her oh, father man. Who like lived with her, you know, it's like that he was an everyday part of her life for so many years, like taking care of him. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's like so many ways to experience grief. And I've been thinking about, you know, her experiences a lot and the way that she's processing it. And it's just, I mean, grief is, it's so interesting. And that'll, you know, she'll be going through that forever. Like we all will, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. And I think that, you know, like impending grief, I also find it interesting, not just that like podcast where they were like chronicling the process of like the end of a life,
mm-hmm.
but I have another, I have a friend right now also who's like, her dad is dying. like, so, and I've always wondered, like, my relationship with now my own mortality, I've always wondered, like, would I've, not like, okay, would I, but I think about it, like, would I prefer to, like, suddenly die? I feel like that sounds really shocking. It feels like it's going to shock me as a dead person. And I'm like, it'll be shocking. It's shocking to my loved ones. And so it's like, okay, is it better when you know it's coming? And it feels like it's always good to, but it's also just like, then the really raw, painful, like that immediate grief can be like a 6-month journey. And I've also like, you know, when you watch people lose, like, the people are dying of cancer, it also just like, you're also losing all of the energy of processing this grief before it has happened, and then you have to deal with the fact that it has happened after, and you're already like weakened from how much you've been like carrying this burden, you know. So like, her father is dying, and he was like for sure to hang at some point in December. Then he like got a little bit better, and it's just like, okay,
oh my gosh, a roller coaster.
How do you even hold like, what does holding space for someone like that look like? And what you're saying also for like allowing. There's people who feel comfortable bringing up this conversation always, but how do you also always make it clear that this is a space where if you want to talk about this, like, I'm down to listen, like, unless whatever it is that's going on, you know? Just like, and how do you also help people, like, carry their pain without also, like, where, it also sometimes feel like the weight of grief is so much, and if you take too much of it, it's also like compromising to you. Like, how do you also not?
Yeah. I guess we talked longer than we said we were going to, but there's just so much to say about this. And I do want to say, I have always been like weirdly obsessed with death. And I've been like, did you ever like think about, like, I used to create like scenarios in my head as a kid that like I died and like, I would like see my funeral from
all the time. I still do that now. I don't create the scenario of the death, but I still picture my funeral.
Yeah. And like, I used to like write little wills, like to like what I was going to give away as a kid, my little books or stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it's funny because like, I don't know. I think so. This is like a running joke and my family, but like my dad's side of the family, like everyone is so obsessed with death. And we joke because like my grandmother, like my dad's mom, she's still alive. She has been like telling me since I was a kid, like every time I'd see her, she'd be like, this is the last time you're gonna see me. Like she's been like, and it's like funny because everyone jokes about it because her mom, I guess, was the same way and just like saying she's gonna die forever. And it's like, my grandma has like been telling me like, you'll never see me again after this. Like, like since I was like 5 years old. So like we are naturally obsessed with death. Well, now she's in her 90s and she's still kicking.
Grandma, please.
I know. So it's like, but like there's definitely some death obsession in that side of the family. So.
That's so funny that y'all live long too and like are obsessed with death.
I know. And my grandma's just been waiting to die like forever and like convinced it's her time. She's always like, the Lord's coming. Like he's coming for me. So I don't know. I think we have a pretty good sense of humor about death just because of how my family
That's
is.
Too freaking funny. Oh my gosh. So, how about your grandma for me the next time you see her? Cause you will.
She'll outlive us all.
She probably so is. Funny. People like that never die. Like we literally.
I know. It's too funny. So, grief.
Death, grief. I would like to talk, like, yeah, I think we can build some more conversations around grief. Maybe we can have on someone also who's processing.
There's so much to say.
Talk through it. Have a good rest of your night. Hopefully you don't have too many morbid thoughts, but.
It's like midnight here now. I'm so excited I stayed awake.
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness. sorry, you're absolutely. Let me go back and take a nap and then start my day.
Yes, and relax the rest of the weekend. All right, well, see you later.
Ciao, Bella.
Bye.